I want you to be finding the 23rd Psalm. I've never, ever done a series on the 23rd Psalm. But I'm excited in what I'm finding out. How many truly, truly satisfied people do you know? People can have all the things this world has to offer and not be truly satisfied. I heard one time about John Mueller, who was a naturalist, who was speaking with Mr. Harriman, who was a big railroad magnate, and Mueller said to Harriman, "I'm richer than you are." Harriman said, "Well, how can that be?" And he said, "You don't have all you want. I do." Think about that. Ecclesiastes 5 and verse 10 says, "He that loveth silver shall not be satisfied with silver." Nothing can really satisfy apart from the Lord Jesus Christ. I heard about a little boy who loved pancakes so much that whenever he sat down to pancakes like men did yesterday at IHOP, he'd make a glutton out of himself. And his mom decided she was going to try to cure him of that. And so she said, "Johnny, I'm going to fix you all the pancakes you can eat." He thought that sounded great. And so she started fixing pancakes, and Johnny ate, and he ate, and he ate, and he ate, and he ate. And his mama said, "Johnny, you want another pancake?" He said, "Mama, I don't want the ones I already ate." There is a secret to satisfaction found in the 23rd Psalm, but there's a danger here. Have you ever heard the old saying, familiarity breeds contempt? You know, we can look at the 23rd Psalm and you say, "Well, I know the 23rd Psalm." It may be the best known passage in all of Scripture. I believe it's one of the seven wonders of the literary world. It's been quoted in the nursery school. It's been quoted on the battlefield. Been quoted at weddings, it's been quoted at funerals. It's so sweet a little child can go there and swim in it with no fear of drowning, and yet it's so deep that a scholar can go there and be completely perplexed. Let's look at it. "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." We could spend a long, long time in this psalm by just examining each and every word of the psalm. The first word is "the." He is the Lord. He's not just a Lord. The Egyptians had over 360 gods, one for every day of the year. The Canaanites, in whose land the Israelites came to live, had a lot of gods. But David, who wrote this song, knew that there was but one God. He is the Lord. Now, we could put the emphasis on the word "Lord." He's the great sovereign. He's the eternal God. He's the one who rules over all. And then There's the word is. The Lord is. My dear departed friend S.M. Lockridge used to say, the Lord always has been, is, and the Lord always will be, is. You just can't keep your tenses straight when you're talking about the Lord. I used to love to hear S.M. preach. And then you could say, the Lord is my shepherd. He's not just a shepherd. He's not just a good shepherd. He's not just the great shepherd. He's my shepherd. We could talk about that. Or we could put the emphasis on the word shepherd and talk about how he's responsible for every care that the sheep have. And we're going to look at this verse and find the secret of satisfaction. Think of our sovereign God, the Lord. Now, if you have a King James Bible, and shame on you if you don't, you'll see that the word Lord is in all capital letters. I wonder why that is. Well, the reason is that word for Lord is the most sacred name for deity that the Jews had. We translate it Jehovah or Yehovah in the Hebrew. And he says, Jehovah is my shepherd. Now, Jehovah describes the self-existing one, the one who had no beginning, the one who will never have an end, the Alpha and the Omega. He's the great I Am. And that word was only pronounced one time per year when the high priest would go inside the Holy of Holies and whisper that name. When a scribe was writing down the scriptures and he came to that name, he would lay down the pen that he was using and pick up a pen that had never been used just to write that name. David is saying, Jehovah, the great one, is my shepherd. Great evangelist of days gone by, Angel Martinez. I want you to listen to the way he said it. The one who made the world and everything in it, the one who lit the taper of the sun and put the stars in their places, that's my shepherd. The one who threw a carpet of green grass upon the earth and packed it down with flowers. The one who scooped out the valleys and piled up the hills. The one who took the song of the seraph and robed it with feathers and gave it to the nightingale. The one who took the rainbow and wove it into a scarf and threw it over the shoulders of a dying storm. That's my shepherd. At evening time, he pulls down the shade of the night and shoots it through with sunset fire. That's my shepherd. Don't you wish he had a way with words? So in verse 1, we see the sovereign God. He is Jehovah. He is the great I Am. And David says, this Lord is my shepherd. The Jehovah of the Old Testament is Jesus in the New Testament. When we say Jehovah, we speak of his deity. When we say Jesus, we speak of his humanity. When we say shepherd, we speak of his humanity in this psalm. In John chapter 10, over in the New Testament, Jesus unlocks the mystery of the 23rd psalm when he said, I am the good shepherd. The sovereign and the shepherd, his deity and his humanity. In Jesus, we have sovereignty and sympathy. We have a king and we have a shepherd. He's the God who's able, but he's also the shepherd who's available. He is God in the heavens, but he's the shepherd in our hearts. In John chapter 10 and verse 11, Jesus said, "I am the good shepherd." The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. Any shepherd can lose his life for the sheep, but that's not what he said. Jesus says, the good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. Did you know that Jesus is the only person who ever chose to die? You say, well, that's not right. There are people who choose to end their lives, so we could say they gave up their life. Or we could say, well, here's somebody who has given their life over to service to others. They have laid down their life. No, I'm standing firm. Jesus is the only one who ever chose to die. Why can I say that? Because the person who ends their life early and the person who gives their life in service for others, they were going to die anyway. Are you with me? They were going to die anyway. Jesus wasn't. He's the eternal one. He's the only one who chose to die. Those others may have chosen to die a little sooner, but they were going to die anyway. But he says, no man takes my life from me. I lay it down. Folks, it wasn't the nails that held Jesus to the cross. It was the silver cords of love. It was the golden bonds of redemption that held him there. We've heard of sheep dying for the shepherd when the shepherd wants a mutton sandwich or some mutton stew. But who's ever heard of the shepherd dying for the sheep? You say, well, I'm thankful that the shepherd dies for the sheep. Well, you know what? I'm more thankful that Almighty God died for man. When he laid down his life for the sheep, he dealt with the penalty of sin, which is death. Your sin is either going to be pardoned in Christ or it's going to be punished in hell, but your sin will never be overlooked. And unless the good shepherd has died for your sin, one of these days you're going to face an angry God in judgment. Not only is he shown as the good shepherd in John 10, he's also shown as the great shepherd in Hebrews chapter 13, verses 10 and 11, excuse me, in Hebrews 13, verses 20 and 21. That's where it says, now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that, notice this, great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect in every good work to do his will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. In John chapter 10, he's called the good shepherd and he dies for the sheep. In Hebrews 13, he's called the great shepherd and he rose for the sheep. It says there in our verse that he was brought again from the dead. What good's a dead shepherd? He rose again from the dead. At the cross, he took care of the penalty of sin, but when he arose from the dead, he took care of the power of sin. He had to be the good shepherd in order to die. Good meaning he was sinless. He didn't have any sin of his own. If he had any sin of his own, the only one he could have died for was himself. But he's the good shepherd. And he dies for our sins. But now he's the great shepherd who rises from the dead, and he's able to lead us in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. He not only died for me, he lives for me. But you know, he's also called the chief shepherd. In 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 4, it says, when the chief shepherd shall appear, he shall receive a crown of glory which fadeth not away. He had to be the good shepherd, no sin of his own, in order to die for our sins. He rose from the dead as the great shepherd and took away the penalty of our sins and the power of our sins. But as the chief shepherd, he's coming again to take us away from the presence of sin. I can't wait. I believe the chief shepherd's about to appear and call his sheep upward at any moment. You know, the inspiration of the Bible is a fascinating thing. It's what has driven me all these years. The mysteries, those nuggets that are in God's Word. And if you leave here today not believing that the Word of God is inspired, there's something wrong with you. I'm going to begin to show you some things. Here's something profound. Psalm 23 follows Psalm 22. And Psalm 24 follows Psalm 23. Isn't that profound? You say, well, I don't really understand how. Well, let me show you. See, in Psalm 22, it's written as though there was a man standing at the very foot of the cross. It's about the crucifixion hundreds of years before crucifixion was even invented. In Psalm 22, it talks about him gambling for his garment. It talks about the words that he would say on the cross. It talks about piercing his hands and feet to a cross before that form of execution was even known. It talks about the words of his enemies. It's all found in Psalm 22. It's about the good shepherd dying for his sheep. But what do you find in Psalm 23? Well, there you find the great shepherd leading his sheep. What do you find in Psalm 24? Well, there's where you find the chief shepherd coming for his sheep. Psalm 24, verses 7 through 10. Lift up your heads, O ye gates, and be ye lift up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord, strong and mighty. The Lord, mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, O ye gates. Even lift them up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord of hosts. He is the King of glory. Selah. You know what that means? Think on this. In this trinity of psalms, you see the good shepherd who died for his sheep in order to take care of the penalty of sins in Psalm 22. You see the great shepherd leading his sheep and overcoming the power of sin in Psalm 23. And then you see the chief shepherd coming for his sheep and delivering them from the presence of sin in Psalm 24. But wait, I told you I was going to talk about the secret of satisfaction. And the key to Psalm 23 is hanging right on the front door in verse 1. The Lord is my shepherd. What's it say next? I shall not want. You have the sovereign, that's Jehovah. And you have the shepherd, that's Jesus. The sovereign plus the shepherd leads to satisfaction. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. That's the only way anybody's ever going to have satisfaction. You're never, ever, 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 ever going to have one modicum of satisfaction until you can say it and mean it. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Far too many people think that the key to satisfaction is having a God who can give you everything you want. That's not satisfaction. The secret of satisfaction is the Lord Himself. Hear me out. Your needs are never going to be met until they are met fully in Him. Things will never satisfy you. You get over to Psalm 37. Way too many people misunderstand Psalm 37, verse 4, which says, "Delight thyself in the Lord, and He shall give you the desires of your heart." Too many people think that means that if they love Jesus, they can get that pink Cadillac they want. That's not what this verse means. It means that when you delight yourself in the Lord, the deepest desires of your heart will be met. The desire of your heart is Jesus. There's a Jesus-shaped hole in your heart, and the only thing that'll fill it is Jesus. That's what your heart yearns for. That's what you were made for. Acts chapter 17 and verse 28 says, "For in Him we live and we move and we have our being. The Lord is my shepherd." It's not what He can do for me. It's He Himself. God made the fish to swim in the sea. He made birds to live in a tree, but if you take a fish out of the sea and put him in a tree, he's an unhappy fish. If you take a bird out of a tree and put him in the sea, he's an unhappy bird. What is your element? What were you created for? God Himself. And until you know Him, you're going to be like that fish in the tree and the bird in the sea. You're going to be out of your element. Friends all around me are trying to find what the heart yearns for by sin undermined. I have the secret. I know where 'tis found. Only true riches in Jesus abound. Jesus is all this world needs today. Blindly men strive, for sin darkens their way. Oh, pull back the grim curtains of night. One look at Jesus, and all will be light. If a man is going to have satisfaction, he must say it and mean it. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Now, I'm going to show you something here that will knock your socks off. I was talking about the inspiration of the Bible. This one will blow you away. David took this sacred name that we talked about a moment ago, the name Jehovah, and he welded it together with some other names. The first one is where he took Jehovah and shepherd and put them together. See, in the Hebrew, it's Jehovah Raha, Jehovah Ra'a. R-A apostrophe A-H, Ra'ah. Jehovah is my shepherd. Let me give you all, there's seven times when he does that. Seven times in the whole Bible where you see the name Jehovah welded together with another word to make a new name for Jehovah. Let me show you all seven. First is right here in Psalm 23, verse 1, Jehovah Ra'ah, Jesus is my shepherd. Number two is in Genesis chapter 22 and verse 14, where we see it's all one word, Jehovah Jireh, J-I-R-E-H, Jehovah Jireh, which means Jehovah my provider. The Lord is my provider. And then in Exodus 15 and verse 26, he is Jehovah Rapha, R-A-P-H-A, Jehovah Rapha, he is my healer. And then in Judges 6:24, we see Jehovah Shalom, S-H-A. L-O-A-M, Jehovah Shalom, the Lord is my peace. Another one is in Jeremiah 23 and verse 6. Now, this one's a little tougher. There he is, Jehovah Tsidkenu. Let me spell it for you. T-S-I-D-N-I-Q-E-N-U-W. Jehovah Tsidkenu. Jehovah, or the Lord, is my righteousness. The next one is Ezekiel 48, verse 35. And there he is, Jehovah Shammah. S-H-A-M-M-A-H. Jehovah Shammah, which means the Jehovah or the Lord who is ever present. Sometimes we talk about him being ever present. Omnipresent. He's omniscient, omnipresent, and all of that. Well, this comes from that. Then in Exodus chapter 17 and verse 15, we find the last one. He is Jehovah Nissi, N-I-S-S-I. Jehovah Nissi, which means he's the banner over our enemies. Now watch this. Let's put it all together. David says, the Lord is my shepherd. What's that? Jehovah Ra'a. I shall not want. What's that? Jehovah Jireh. He's my provider. He restoreth my soul. Who's that? Well, that's Jehovah Rapha. The Lord is my healer. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me by the still waters. Who's that? That's Jehovah Shalom. The Lord is my peace. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Who's that? That's Jehovah Tsidkenu. The Lord is my righteousness. He prepares a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Who's that? That's Jehovah Nissi. He is the banner over my enemies when they come in like a flood. I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Who's that? That's Jehovah Shammah. He's the Lord who's ever present with me. Isn't that amazing? David is saying, the Lord is my shepherd, not the things he gives me. See, the things he gives me are only a representation of who the Lord is. Is the Lord your shepherd? You want to find out? The question is the Lord your shepherd? Well, here's the way you find out. Is the shepherd your Lord? Not just anybody can stand and quote the 23rd Psalm and claim it for their own. In John chapter 10, the Lord was speaking to unsaved Pharisees. Now, they were the religious high muckety mucks, the leaders in the church, and they were lost as a goose in a hailstorm. And he's talking to these Pharisees. And in John 10, verse 26, he says, but you, Pharisee, believe not because you are not of my sheep, as I said unto you. It is impossible for you to claim the Lord is my shepherd if you're not part of the sheep. He's only your shepherd if he's your Lord. Here's a description of somebody who truly can say the Lord is my shepherd. In John 10, verse 27, Jesus says, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. When you say, my shepherd, he says, my sheep. See it? Have you heard his voice? Have you received him as your personal Savior and Lord? See, salvation is a personal relationship with the Lord, but not only is it a personal relationship, it's a permanent relationship. In John 10, verse 28, he says, and I give unto them what? Eternal life, and they shall what? Never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. Any earthly shepherd, he's going to lose some sheep. But the heavenly shepherd's never lost a one. I believe in the eternal security of the believer just because of John 10, 28. Now, there are hundreds of verses that make me believe in the eternal security of the believer, but this one's enough for me. I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. If I could be saved for 10 years and then lose my salvation, then he didn't give me eternal life. He gave me 10 years life. That's not what he said. He says, I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Mine is a personal relationship. It's a permanent relationship, and that's because it's a protected relationship. In John 10, 29, it says, my Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man's able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. Jehovah is my shepherd. He can never lose a single sheep. Friend, if you're saved by your works, then you can be lost by your works. But if you got your salvation by grace, you're kept by grace. He says, I give unto them. I give unto them. I give unto them. You don't earn it. I give unto them, he says. Here's a little girl misquoted the 23rd Psalm one time, but in a way she got it right. She said, the Lord is my shepherd. I got all I want. That's right. That's right. That's the secret of satisfaction. It is Jehovah himself. He laid down his life for the sheep. He died for you. And when you give your life to Jesus, he doesn't just cast you out there and say, sink or swim. No, no. He gives you the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, to guide you. He's the chief shepherd. He's coming soon. Are you ready for him to burst open the skies and show up today? Today. It could be today. He said, in a time which you least expect it, the Son of Man appears. Are you ready? Our musicians are going to come. We're going to have a time of invitation. Are you ready to study this psalm with me? It's an exciting thing when you see all of the inspired things that are packed into it. If you've never given your life to Jesus, I hope you'll come today. What are we singing, Gary?
371.
371. Let's stand. You come as we sing.
I can hear Savior come.
Father, we thank you so much that you are our good and great shepherd, our chief shepherd. Thank you, Lord, that you guide us. Thank you that you came for us and died for us. Thank you, Lord, that you're coming back again, and we look forward to that. Help us to be ready. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's join hands as we dismiss.